Welcome. Today I will be interviewing Mr. Robert Barter. He is a teacher and department head at A.Y. Jackson Secondary School in the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board. Mr. Barter teaches world issues. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, nice to be here.
Great. Mr. Barter, I'd like you to begin by discussing the significance of teaching world issues to students today.
Okay. I feel that every student should have to take world issues. And unfortunately, it's not a mandatory course in the Ontario curriculum. But in a world we live in today where it's such a small world where kids can travel so far, so fast, and a lot of them will work in other countries, and so many of our students here, their families come from other cultures around the world, that I believe it's an important course that every kid should take. It gives them a perspective that they wouldn't get otherwise.
I agree. I think that it should be a mandatory course, and it should be a part of the curriculum in terms of becoming well-rounded.
Yeah.
I strongly feel that world issues is very relevant by understanding the significance between relationships with certain countries. A student has a better understanding as to what is currently happening in today's world while also assessing previous relationships.
Yeah, we can't just be a citizen of Canada anymore. You have to be a citizen of the world.
And that's very true.
Yeah, and to make smart decisions as an adult and to make the world a better place.
I agree.
You have to know what's going on in the world and have a perspective that there's many different sides to issues.
I agree. What approach do you use in order to engage student involvement in world issues? I noticed that you do a lot of work in terms of engaging your students. And I have to say that teaching and speaking to your class today was a great privilege.
You have a
great number of students here who are very, very eager, very hardworking, and definitely some bright minds.
The best way to teach world issues that I've found over the years, I've been teaching here now for 16 years, and the way I've taught the course has changed significantly. When I first started teaching, it was more the traditional teacher-centered course where I'd be at the front of the class and giving them the information, and then they'd memorize it and write it on a test.
Right.
And it's changed since then, because what I realized is that the best way to teach kids is for them to learn something themselves and to follow their interests. So what I've done now is kids, I'll pair them up. They find a partner that they want to work with, and they'll research a global issue of their choice. And then what I'll have as their major project for the course is they'll teach a class, the two of them, they'll teach the entire class about this issue. And they have to cover all angles. They have to look at both sides and or multiple sides of the issue and make sure that the class learns the issue really well. So it's everything from, you know, what's happening in Ukraine at the moment. We have students that look at, you know, health issues. We have students that, you know, look at Israel-Palestine. They can choose whatever they want. And by giving kids choice, I find then they really pursue things with a passion. And then they can take all the other facets of the issues that I want them to learn, everything from economics to population to health issues, and they can put that all into this one project.
I think that's a really good approach because, like you said, the students then have an opportunity to look at different issues and pursue an issue that they perhaps want to learn more about.
Yeah.
Similar to the discussion I had with your students today about all of the different programs that we offer, what I recommended and what I suggested to your students is to go on the NATO Association of Canada's website to look at the different programs, to read the description, and then to see what it is that they're interested in.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm glad you did that.
Another question I wanted to ask you about was, oftentimes there are a lot of challenges pertaining to international relations and affairs. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges today when it comes to having that discussion?
Biggest challenge is trying to keep your own personal bias out of the equation. Like, I always talk to the students at the beginning of a course saying, you know, this whole course is going to be given to you through my bias. And then we talk about our own personal biases. and to try to look at an issue without having a previous conception of what the answer should be. And that's hard to do. It's hard for anybody to do, and especially for students, because a lot of them, this is the first time they've thought about these issues. And a lot of them just, we have different backgrounds. Like, we have students in my class from Pakistan. We have students that have families from Russia. And so when we talk about certain issues, we have to make sure that we're giving everything a balanced approach.
Right.
Because and just because what we feel might be the right answer in Canada isn't necessarily the right answer in those countries.
That's very true. And I think having that diversity is extremely powerful, because mm-hmm. it gives us all a chance to not only learn about other cultures, but at the same time engage in discussion.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of youth involvement, what programs should be further established in order to encourage active participation?
In what way? Like
in terms of programs outside of the school.
Oh, I see.
For students to... I've done research, and yeah. I know you've done so much work, and your students are very lucky to have you as their teacher. But in terms of work that's being done outside of school, what would you like to see more organizations do in order to engage the youth more?
When you're working with teenagers, it's different than working with, say, university level or a post-grad level. High school students, they don't appreciate just sitting around and listening to something all day long.
Right.
They want to be involved. They want to be active. And oftentimes, I think we discount how smart they are, and they know a lot, and they know a lot more than I do on many of these issues.
Well, like I mentioned with one of your students, he knew what EMP was when I was talking about the conference I attended at the McKenzie Institute.
Yeah.
I asked your class if anyone knew.
Yeah.
What EMP was. And he said it's electromagnetic pulse.
Yeah, he knew it right off the bat.
He knew, and when I asked him to explain what it was, mm-hmm. he gave a very detailed answer.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not alone. There's a lot of kids that are extremely bright. And this is, I think we have to make sure that we understand that teenagers have an awful lot to give and an awful lot to add to the discussion. When we talk about global issues, we think, maybe they're just not as well informed, but they are.
They are. No, I certainly noticed that with your class, is that your class definitely is one of my favorite classes that I've taught, before, because they know a lot about issues that are currently happening. And at the same time, they ask really good questions pertaining to, well, why is something this way and what can be done? No, so I think that asking questions, the fact that they not only answered questions but also asked a lot of questions shows that they're very interested and they want to be involved, and their understanding of world issues is impressive.
Yeah, and we're only halfway through the course, and
it's not,
to be honest, I'm not going to take credit for that, because it's them. They're the ones that lead it, and they're the ones that are doing the discussions and asking the questions. And I just sort of can see myself more as a facilitator. So I feel fortunate to work with such a
people. But I think behind a successful group of students, there is a great teacher, a teacher that inspires and motivates their students to look into these issues. And that's something that I certainly noticed.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
What are some of the most crucial lessons taught by you in your world issues class?
You know, it's... It sounds really basic, and I in an earlier answer I said, I've changed the way I've taught, and I have a more of a modern style now of collaboration with students and student-led lessons. But some of the most important things we can do with students is teach them basic world geography. It's amazing
that
how many students, you get to grade 12, and you expect that they would know where places are in the world. Like, if you're talking about Nigeria, you'd assume they'd know that they're in West Africa.
Or
and they expect they'd know, if you're talking about this is happening in Syria right now, the crisis, that they know what countries are bordering and how they... So when you talk about how countries are affected, that they would know that. But it's surprising the lack of basic geographical knowledge that kids have today. And it's our school system's fault. We haven't taught them that. And it's so what I do is I start off each year, I start off or each class, I should say, in world issues, we just do some basic world geography. We do some map quizzes where we go around the world, and they have to memorize all the countries in the Middle East and memorize the countries in Africa. And they don't like it, but when they see how relevant it is as we get into the course and how it's important just to know where things are, have a basic, you know, geographical knowledge about the world, geospatial knowledge.
And it oftentimes makes a huge difference
Once
they know where a country is, where
exactly.
a place is, then it allows them to know what they're talking about.
Exactly. It's just that basic knowledge. And I guess the second thing is, we always try to talk about is that when you talk about world issues, there's not a lot of black and white. It's a lot of gray. And it's important to understand that and to listen to many different opinions before you formulate your own.
What would you say are the top three major issues of concern happening in international relations and in this world as we speak?
Right now, I'd say the big issue that we've been talking about in class is the refugee issue with Syria. It's gotten so much press, especially in the last 2 months with the end of the Canadian election, that the students are very, very interested in learning about that and wondering why these people are leaving and why, where they're going and what do they want. And so that's been a real tricky thing to discuss because, you know, we live in, you know, a suburb of a major Canadian city. We're not suffering very much here in Ottawa. And for them to understand that people would just pick up and have to leave their homes and leave everything. And these are, you know, normal people just like us. And it's for them, that's been a big issue to discuss, and we're still exploring it. The issue with Russia, especially now, Russia being involved in Syria and Russia and Ukraine, this has been a big topic of conversation in the last couple of years in the class. The kids are very, very interested in what's going on. They thought maybe this seems like behavior from the Cold War. And
it does.
Yeah. And so this is something they're very interested in learning about. And then I guess, you know, just general issues that we talk about. We talk about, you know, basic, you know, differences, why some countries are poor and why some countries are rich, and how do countries develop, and, you know, what is the process in a country developing, and why some countries just aren't, you know. And so there's those big questions that we look at.
I think those are all three major issues of concern.
Yeah.
For the students that are interested in pursuing a career in international relations, what would be the best advice you would give to a student with such an interest?
The best advice I can give them, well, first of all, if we can talk to them early on in their high school career, like in grade 9 and 10, because at our school we offer exchanges. So we have an exchange that goes to China every second year and exchange to Spain as well. So I would tell the students to be involved in one of those exchanges and go and learn a new language and live with a family in another country and experience something completely different than what they're used to. That'd be my first advice to them. My second advice would be to learn another language.
And that's something I talked
about too, right?
The benefit associated with knowing a second language.
Yeah, every time you learn a new language, a whole new world opens up for you. So we offer Spanish at our school, so a lot of our kids take Spanish.
Nice.
And then after high school, there's lots of options now. There's many more universities seem to be offering like global studies programs and development studies. Carleton University just started a new one last year. So we had about six of our students go into that program from our graduating class last year.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Any final words you would like to share with the listeners today?
I just really appreciate having a chance to talk about my world issues class. And I'm so glad, Magdalena, that you came to talk to them today.
I'm very glad that I came as well. And I have to say that it's been a huge honor speaking to your class, and I definitely look forward to coming back again soon.
You're always welcome back.
Thank you.